is just about Still the Morning. That question that was up there, was anyone else thinking, I don't actually understand the question? In and of itself, it's confusing, but I'm just going to hedge my bets. Anyone got an answer? Cricket? You don't understand cricket? I feel you. I absolutely don't understand it. Rugby? Let's just name all the sports. I don't get the offside rule. I've tried. I don't understand it. Anything else? The internet. I agree. These concepts are too big for us. Well, if we've not met already, my name's Lois, and I'm part of the lead team here at FCC. And there are so many things I don't understand, but I'll do you all a favour and whittle it down to just three. I cannot get my head around the tide, the time, or frankly, if I'm honest, the Trinity. So let's start with the tide. I don't get it. How does the moon control the ocean? Why does it go in and why does it go out? What is high tide and what is low tide? And why are there different tides? I don't understand it. Second of all, there'll be no answers. You're just going to get a running commentary of my confusion. The concept of time, can I be totally honest? Still at 32, I don't get it. I do not get it. How can you get on a plane, travel to another country and go back in time? Makes no sense. Also, another one, right? Quick pop quiz, and it's only one question long. Who knows the time in Kathmandu, Nepal, right now? And you can't look at your phone, just shout out your guess. Any guesses? You're going to go same time as here? Any other guesses? Yeah? 12 p.m.? You're going to go 12 p.m.? Let me tell you. So, right here, right now, it is 11:44. In Kathmandu, it's 4:29 because they decided to pick their own time zone. I love it. They were like, I don't get time either. We're just going to pick our own. So, guys, I'm moving to Kathmandu. It was nice knowing you. So I don't really understand the tide and how that works. I don't really understand the concept of time. I'm working on it. And thirdly, if I'm honest, I really struggle to get my head around the Trinity. I know that might be a shock, and you can sack me later if you want. Now, maths has never been my strong point. Me and numbers aren't well acquainted. But even I know 1 = 1, 2 = 2, and 3 = 3. However, with the good Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity, 3 = 1, and 1 = 3. And it makes no sense at all. Because you see, with the Trinity, it's made up of three persons. We've got God the. Okay, you all get it. I'm going to go home. I'm off to Kathmandu instead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So three persons, one entity. Three expressions of one divinity. And they are all distinct, but they're equal. Three in one. Now, as a young teenager and as a strong empath, I had a bit of an issue because I was really worried that they would be like jealous if I prayed to one of them more than the other one. So whenever I'd pray, I'd make mental tally chart. I've prayed to the Father. Oh, I did mention Jesus. And then I think I mentioned the Holy Spirit. So I'll go back to God the Father. And I would make this running total so I didn't offend any of them by leaving them out or praying to the other one more often. Didn't want them to think I had favourites. Turns out the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, they're not in competition. So they weren't offended. But for us as Christians to like fully experience the richness of Christian life, it is of value to us to understand and be in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's why here at FCC, we preach about God, we preach about Jesus, and we preach about the Holy Spirit. We sing songs about God, we sing about Jesus, we sing about the Holy Spirit. And we believe in all three expressions of the Trinity. But the person of the Trinity that I probably understood the least, if I'm honest, is the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he's often mentioned third, isn't he? We often say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he's not last, and he's not least important. Though he is the third and final one to be like fully revealed in Scripture, in the Bible. Because if you think about the Bible, and if you're familiar at all, then in the Old Testament, God is like the main character. And then you get to the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus is the main character. And then you get to the book of Acts in the first century, and the Holy Spirit becomes the main character. But this is where it gets confusing, and this is where Trinity and the concept of time all get mixed up, and this is where I lose it. Because it turns out that although Jesus asked the Holy Spirit to come down in the first century, turns out he was actually existed all the way back where time began with God. And because that's quite confusing, I thought I would let this video do a much better job of explaining it.
The Holy Spirit was present at the creation of the universe. When God created the first man and woman, made in his image, it was the Spirit of God that breathed life into them. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit helping certain individuals at specific times for special tasks. For example, the Holy Spirit gave Samson supernatural strength to protect his nation. The Holy Spirit equipped Deborah with the wisdom to lead. In Exodus 35, God's Spirit filled Bezalel to be a great artist and create many works. And God gave Isaiah the gift of prophecy to speak his words to the people. In the Old Testament, the prophet Joel spoke of a day when the Spirit would be poured out on everyone so that all could experience the love and power of God, regardless of age, gender, ethnicity, or background. Then, with the coming of Jesus, there was an increase in the activity of the Spirit. Even at the time of his birth, Mary, his mother, and her cousin Elizabeth, and the baby she was carrying, were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Before he died, Jesus had told the disciples that the Father would send the Spirit, the friend, to help them. He told them, "It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come." After his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples to wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they waited.
So that is an introduction into who the Holy Spirit is. And that same Holy Spirit that settled on the ocean at creation, that spoke through prophets throughout the Old Testament, rested like a dove on Jesus, and then who empowered the early church, that same Holy Spirit, he's available to you and me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 puts it like this. The truth is the good news. When you heard the truth, you put your trust in Christ, and then God marked you by giving you his Holy Spirit as a promise. So if you were a follower of Jesus today, when you said yes to following Jesus, when you said, "I'm a Christian, I'm going to give my life to God," when you put your trust in him, Jesus gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, then let me tell you, there is no better day, no better time, no better place than right now to give your life to following Jesus. Because today you're going to hear more and more about the gift that it is to know Jesus and to have the promise of the Holy Spirit with you. So at the end of our service today, we're going to have an opportunity, if you want to say yes to following Jesus. And maybe today is going to be your landmark day where everything changes for you. Now, last week, Phil introduced our Holy Spirit series, and he was teaching us about how the Holy Spirit helps us, comforts us, and then, when needed, discomforts us to move us towards action. And next week, Steve is going to be speaking on how the Holy Spirit empowers us and transforms us when we receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then the week after, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit equips and sends us. So you're going to be hearing a whole lot about the Holy Spirit in this month of June. But today, the message is really simple, and it's this. The Holy Spirit is always with you. Can you just turn to someone around you and say, "The Holy Spirit is always with you"? The Holy Spirit is always with you. Now, here's what it says in the verse that Phil read last week. This is from John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. It says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another friend to help you and to be with you forever, And that friend is the Spirit of Truth. Now, I don't know if you know that the Bible was written in its original language, and then it was converted and translated into different languages and translations to help us understand and access the scriptures in a way that we would all understand in our own ways. And that's why sometimes you'll hear us say that we're saying a verse in this translation of the Bible or in another one. So let's have a look at another one. So this one is the NLT, and it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." And then another one, just for comparison, is the Message version. And it puts it like this. Jesus is Jesus, just in case you spotted that one. Just testing you all. Jesus said, "I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth." So every translation is a little bit different. Every version uses a little slightly different word, but the sentiment that stands out through them all is there is a friend who is with you always and forever, and the friend is the Holy Spirit. Now, it's simple, and it's profound, and you could want to move past it really quickly. You might be like, "I get that. I've been doing this a long time. I've been a Christian a long time. I've known the Holy Spirit a long time." But let's just take a moment to let it sink in. Like, for us as followers of Jesus, we've been promised the friend of a Holy Spirit who never leaves us. And that means that there is no job interview, no meeting, no audition, no exam that you walk into alone. That means that there is no difficult conversation that you have to take on alone. That means there's no doctor's appointment, no course of treatment that you take on alone. There's no holiday or party or social that you rock up to alone. This week I had like a really bad nightmare one night and woke up panicky and sweaty, and physically I was on my own. But I had the gift of the Holy Spirit to remind me, you're not alone. There is someone with you, and he is a friend, and he is always with us. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And you might wonder, is there any more to this talk? Will I ever move on? Why is it so important? And it's important that we truly grasp this and believe it, because when we really do believe the Holy Spirit is with us, it changes everything. It changes the way we think, changes the way we talk. It changes the perspective we approach life with. It changes the confidence in which we can walk into a room, no matter how difficult it might be. Like, for parents of young children, when you are weary and bleary-eyed in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit is with you and can refresh you. For my widowed friends or divorced friends, who life might feel a little bit empty, the Holy Spirit is with you and can comfort you. When you face work pressures that feel like way too big for you to take on, or when you've got that colleague who, if they send you one more email, you might just swing for them, the Holy Spirit is with you, he's in you, and he can give you peace. When we've got difficult life decisions to make, maybe you don't know which way to go. You don't know what to prioritize in life. You don't know where to take your career or what job to say yes to, or whether you should be relocating or redirecting the course of your future. The Holy Spirit is with you and can guide you. And when you walk into that new job, or in September, when some of you might walk into a new class or a new school, the Holy Spirit is with you and he will never leave you. He will give you courage. And when you're in danger, you can call on the Holy Spirit, who will help you. Because the Holy Spirit is what? Always with you. And when we get our head around it, when we really can grasp it, it changes things. Changes things for us, for our relationships, for our family, for our community, for our witness. When we can walk in the confidence that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is living and breathing in me. It changes things. Now, quite a few years ago, I went on a solo trip to Asia. And ironically, I wasn't worried about the risks, of which there were many. I wasn't worried about not having enough money, which again was ironic because I didn't have much. I wasn't worried about getting ill, which was ironic given how poorly I got. All I was worried about was this one thing, being lonely. Now, I'm from a really big family. We spend a lot of time together. I had just become an auntie for the first time. I have a really great big group of friends. And so to go thousands of miles away on my own, the thought of being lonely filled me with dread because the people I loved were so far away. So I was in Costa Coffee in Manchester Airport early on my own, and I just got my little journal out and just prayed, get me there safe, and please don't let me be lonely. It was like the thought of being lonely might have been a virus or something, and I was like, I just don't want to feel lonely. So I board the plane, I find my seat, and I had a window seat. Now, who'd be happy with that? Voters for the window seat? Voters for the aisle seat? Long leg people, you need the aisle seat. Any weirdos that like the middle seat? What's wrong with you? Oh, we'd be ideal to go on holiday together, Rachel. So I had the window seat, and this isn't the exact picture because I couldn't find one and don't actually think I took one, but this is an idea of what you could see out of the window. I absolutely love the view of a plane out the window when you can see the clouds. Now, it was a long trip, this journey, so I had a long time looking at those clouds. And as I was looking out on them, I started humming this tune, and all the words that I could remember went like this. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Riding on a cloud. Does anyone know the song? Sing it. Come on. So all I could think of was that line, riding on the clouds, which meant that was all I sung. Riding on the clouds. I mean, this was all in my head because the people wouldn't have wanted me to lead worship in front of them. All I could think of was this phrase, riding on the clouds, whilst I was looking at, will you just pop that picture back on for me, Glory? Whilst I was looking at that picture, all I could think was, riding on the clouds. And I was like, what? At the time, I was like, what is this song? What? I can't really fully remember it. And I also didn't really understand what it meant. Knowing that it was words that sounded a little bit biblical and not like something off of a top chart hit, I put it into the Bible app to see where it came from and what it meant. And this is what came up from Mark chapter 14, verse 62. It says this, I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. I sat with that verse, singing the tune, reading that, and realized in that moment, the Holy Spirit was reminding me that whether I was thousands of miles up in the sky or down on ground, whether I was home with my family or on my own on another continent, the Son of Man is with me. The Mighty One is right with me, coming on the clouds. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, he is literally riding this journey with you. I needed that Holy Spirit reminder so much in that moment. And God gave it in that creative way of a song that dropped and an image that I saw. And there are a few ways that the Holy Spirit loves to remind us of his presence with us. One of the ways, like I've said, is a song. I don't know if you ever get a song, like a worship song, just stuck in your head over and over again, and you're like, why can I not think of something else? Hey, maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through the song. Maybe you get a Bible verse. Now, when I had that experience, I really wasn't proficient in the Bible. I didn't know verses off the top of my head. But that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to illuminate Scripture to us, to help us make sense of this. And I'm sure you would agree that sometimes when we open the Bible, when we read it, it's really hard. Does anyone else feel like it's confusing? Makes not a lot of sense sometimes, and you read a lot of words and you go, oh yeah, thanks, I'll put that down. Do you know the Holy Spirit's job is to make it make sense? We can draw on that. We can allow him and ask him, God, help me understand this. Give me a verse that's for me. Speak through me, because I know you're with me. And sometimes he'll draw us to a verse or a scripture that is just relevant for just that time that you might actually not realize until a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. And that's why it's so important as followers of Jesus that we, however we can, whether we read it, listen, or however, try and get the Bible in us and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through it. So the Holy Spirit reminds us that he's with us sometimes through songs, sometimes through scripture. Sometimes he does it through another person. He might give you a prophetic word. Someone might come to you and say, I think God's given me a word for you. And you'll know if it's him, if it is timely and relevant and encouraging and uplifting and points you towards God and probably something that they never even knew about. And it's like the Holy Spirit going, I'm speaking through you. I'm speaking through somebody else to you through a prophetic word. There is also times when someone comes and says, I've got a word for you from the Holy Spirit. And you think, sweetheart, that's from another spirit. So sometimes we have to just like gracefully take some words and pray on it and say, Holy Spirit, if that's for me, let it be known. And other times it's okay to say, thank you so much, goodbye, and go to Kathmandu. So sometimes people will speak. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us through prophetic words. Visions. Has anyone ever had a vision? Like an image in their mind? Yeah. The Holy Spirit speaks through pictures that we might close our eyes and see. He can speak through dreams as well. Dreams where you probably wake up and think, what on earth was that? Maybe that was the Holy Spirit. Has anyone ever had a Holy Spirit dream? Yeah, quite a few of you, yeah. And then there's the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to me probably most often, and it's my least favorite way, that he reminds me that he's with me. And that's when I'm doing something I probably shouldn't. Somewhere I probably shouldn't be. Saying something I shouldn't. To someone I shouldn't. Or thinking something I shouldn't. And that's where I get this thing, this like feeling. Now for me, it kind of feels like a bit of a knot in my stomach. Maybe it's been like my heart racing a little bit or like a sinking feeling in my mind. And that is called conviction. And this Holy Spirit speaks to us through conviction. And what he's doing is he's like gently tapping us and reminding us, I'm with you. I can see what you're doing. I can see where you're going or what you're thinking or what you're saying. But just remember, you are hosting the Holy Spirit. I am in you and with you. And this isn't good for you. And when the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, it really isn't to shame you. It isn't to guilt trip you. Do you know what it's to do? It's just to nudge you slightly closer to God. The gentle nudges, that feeling, that like, I'm not sure I should be doing this and I'm doing it anyway, is often the Holy Spirit just like nudging you towards holiness, nudging you towards goodness, nudging you towards purity, towards freedom, to what God wants for your life, to what a God-honoring life looks like, because he loves you and he wants the best for you. And when you get that feeling of conviction, and when you think, I probably shouldn't be doing this, so easy, isn't it, to squash that feeling and think, I'll do it anyway. But you know, as followers of Jesus, that conviction is a gift. It's a gift because it's a gentle nudge towards a God who loves you, wants the best for you, and has so much grace for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says this. So I tell you, live by following the Spirit. Then you'll not do what your sinful selves want. Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit. And the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. So live by following the Spirit. Those gentle nudges, that lack of peace about something or someone or a decision, that feeling of conviction is the Holy Spirit saying, I am with you. Run from this and come with me and follow the Holy Spirit. And as we grow in our understanding and as we grow in our experience of the Holy Spirit, you might begin to notice a little bit more those songs, those scriptures, those words, that feeling of conviction that draws us to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you will start to sense that peace coming over you and you'll feel like and realize the Holy Spirit is with me. Maybe when you're in school or when you're in work, something will just feel a little bit different. Maybe it's a reminder the Holy Spirit is with me. when we understand and when we believe that he's with us, we honestly like can't help but live differently. So why don't we let it? Let's let the Holy Spirit impact the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, and the way we live, because we believe and we're excited that this month there's going to be a wave of the Holy Spirit over our church, over our community, that we won't be able to stop singing or stop worshiping or stop reading the Bible or stop praying or stop telling people about Jesus because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to impact everything we did because we recognized he's with us, and that is a gift from our Heavenly Father.